Hey guys! This week at Cambridge, we've had peers from Japan and all over Britain working on exciting research projects. Hi there, I'm Catherine.
And I'm Joel. Our team has looked at expressing scientific knowledge to a wider audience near you.
Since our Japanese peers have travelled to England via aeroplanes, it's best we start off with an interview of Dr. Chris Clark and some students in the Jet Engine Compressor Blade Design Department.
What have you been working on this week?
So the group's here been working on compressor design. So a compressor is a bit of turbine machinery that takes air or other gases and compresses it down to a higher pressure and density. And they're used all around the world, both in power generation, transports and other processes. And we've been trying to improve their performance.
All right. Because specifically, I know that this week you'll be looking at jet engines as well. Do you see the compressor engines that you're going to be sort of be looking at being used in the modern world anytime soon? Are you stumbling upon any breakthroughs at the moment?
This week with the students?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the work the guys are doing this week is, whilst maybe a bit small for jet engines, is directly applicable to smaller machines. In particular, a certain manufacturer of vacuum cleaners has blades around that size. So these are very, very applicable problems, and they are still problems that are being looked at around the world.
We're now joined by Shota at the Whittle Lab.
My name is Shota Yamada, and I'm from Fukushima.
Why did you decide to join this group?
Because I want to be an engineer.
What do you want to do in this jet engine group?
I want to say my opinion many times.
What are the difficulties in researching about compressor of jet engine?
It is that we have to think about many kind of condition of jet engine compressor blade.
So why is it difficult for you?
If we think about the jet engine blade, we all used technical tools.
So we're standing in the Whittle Lab at the moment and there are big machines everywhere. We have a very large compressor on my right, very, very large. Then on my left we have a wind tunnel example, and it's amazing.
We spoke to Angus about the efficiency of the system.
Why high pressure and low pressure is important for?
Okay, so as the air enters the engine, it goes through a large fan, which is what powers the whole plane. However, to let the fuel burn at its most efficient, so we get the most amount of energy out of the fuel, it needs to be at high pressure. So as the air comes through, it goes through a series of what we call compressors, which are similar to a fan with lots of little small blades on it that compress it bit by bit. And then once it reaches the fuel terminal, it's very hot and at very high pressure. So when the fuel burns, we get the most amount of energy out of the fuel. And then the high pressure gets ejected from the back of the thruster, which allows even more thrust to be transferred to the plane. So essentially, you burn less fuel, but still get more energy.
So, more efficient compressor uses less energy, which reduces fuel consumption.
And on that bombshell, we can bring you Professor Geraldine Thomas at the Energy Generation, Global Warming and the Health Department with Ayana.
What is global warming?
Global warming is exactly what it says. It's the amount our atmosphere is increasing its temperature year on year. It's accelerated more recently. And it has important effects on global stability, on our ability to grow crops, on the level of water in our oceans, on our weather. So our weather is becoming more extreme. In the UK, we've had a hot summer, and we will probably have torrential downpours at some time. That affects agriculture. If it becomes more difficult to grow food in certain countries, obviously, that will have an effect on the politics of those countries, may make them unstable, may lead to effects with refugees, etc. So it has the potential to impact all of our lives in many different ways. So it's a really important subject.
Why is it important to prevent global warming, and what effect does it have on us?
Okay, it's important to prevent global warming because it will destabilize our climate. It will reduce our ability to feed ourselves. So we will have areas that are not deserts at the moment that will become desert. It will change the insects that are around in our country. Insects often carry diseases. So it will change our health. Also, because of the way we generate our electricity at the moment, we are using a lot of carbon. which produces particulate matter, which affects our heart and our lungs. And so there are many thousands of deaths across the globe due to the fact that our atmosphere is becoming more polluted as it is warming up, because it affects the whole of the cycle.
On the note of health, Catherine has been interviewing Peter Thomas from the Radiation and Environment Department.
What does your workshop involve?
Right, we've been looking at various sources of radiation. We've looked at the electromagnetic spectrum, which would include such things as radio waves, right the way through to gamma rays at the other end of the spectrum.
Why do you think it's important that people know about radiation and the effects of radiation on human health?
Right, there's a very wide misconception that all radiation is dangerous. I think as soon as people hear the word radiation, they think of radioactive material and all the horror stories that are bandied about in the popular press. Whereas in actual fact, we're making use of radiation in the form of communication for mobile phones, which a little while ago was a subject of some controversy that people thought microwaves, we can heat food up, cook things, must be cooking people's brains. But the levels of the microwave background there are very, very small and have not been shown to cause any harm. At the other end, we've got radioactive materials and the problems that are associated with those. If not handled carefully, obviously there will be problems with them, but I think that people have got a big misconception that it's far more dangerous than it actually is.
So what have you found about radiation?
Right, things that we were able to investigate was radiation in some everyday items. So we ran a Geiger counter over bananas, Brazil nuts, lumps of coal, all of which gave readings above normal background radiation. We're exposed to radiation all the time, so if you've got a Geiger counter, you'll hear it ticking over, click, 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 and then put it up to a banana, click, 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 a little bit more, but not a great deal.
So which foods have higher radiation? Would you say fruits, vegetables, or processed foods?
It may depend a bit on where the stuff has been grown, because the plants will obviously be absorbing radioactive material from the soil, but only in trace amounts. After Chernobyl, the locals were warned, don't eat the mushrooms, because the mushrooms concentrated certain radioactive isotopes. And that would also make the food far more dangerous for the individuals, because the radioactive material, would build up in their bodies, and so they would be at more risk.
I wonder how it would be to visit an actual power station.
Well, Ayana has kindly agreed to share her experience with Shiva.
We're joined by Ayana, a student of science communication, here outside Murray Edwards on a lovely, cloudy British morning. Why did you decide to go to Fukushima nuclear power plant?
I wanted to see the radiation situation there in my own eyes and to feel the atmosphere there.
Interesting. What did you learn about Fukushima nuclear power plant?
The situation in the nuclear power plant is changing a little bit every day. I learned that we have to wait and see in the long run. And I also learned people who work there use technical terms. So we have to translate them into simple words that everyone knows.
How can we reduce harmful pollutants?
We always have to send correct information to audience.
Do you have any examples of methods of sending correct information to audience?
For example, maybe campaigning or more TV shows and or the newspaper.
Wowzers! That sounds incredible!
Well, that's it for this week, guys.
I've been Catherine.
And I've been Joel.
Throughout this week, we've teamed up with our producers, Shiva, Ayana and Kota, to bring you this podcast.
Thank you very much for listening. Domo arigato. Sayonara.
Sayonara.